with you. We're going to talk a little bit about a clash between two concepts that I think we generally assume. Thank you. We generally assume. Is this the right time? No. Stop. Stop clock. Yeah. Thanks. Okay. Two concepts that we generally assume to both be correct, and we're going to have to deal with the situation of when they come into conflict with each other. One of the concepts, and I'll also just add one other disclaimer before I begin, which is that when you deal with topics, you know, people will often, when you start talking about things like Hashgacha Pratis, so people will immediately start asking, well, why did this happen in my life? Or why did this happen? And it's important to realize that we are basically involved right now, and we will be over the next half hour, 35 minutes or so, we're going to be involved in an exercise which is really futile from a certain perspective, because we're trying to understand how Hashem runs the world. And it's futile in the sense that we are never going to actually get a clear understanding of exactly how Hashem runs the world. And yet, the Rambam tells us that even though we are not able to be Yorid Sof Taito Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it still behooves us to attempt and to try to understand Him, and that's why He gave us a brain. He gave us a brain in order to use it to try to understand Him better. So we're going to try, and at the same time we have to recognize that if the end of the, when we're done learning, and obviously this is just a short shiur on a topic that can spend, you could spend years looking into and learning, even after years and years of learning, you still will probably have questions, and that's not a problem. But at the same time, we try to understand as best as we can. So the concepts that we're talking about that seem to be at odds with each other, or at least there can be situations where they're at odds with each other, is on the one hand, we have a concept called free will. Torah tells us, b'charta b'chayim, people are given free will. It's something that we don't even need the Torah to tell us. It's something that we sense from our own experience, that we have the choice. We could, at any given moment, do whatever we please. Now, we may choose lifestyles and embrace ideals and communities that prevent us from doing certain things because of the social norms that we've placed ourselves into, but that's also a decision that we make. And we have really, at any given moment, free will to do whatever we'd like. On the other hand, and we don't feel, I'll just add, we don't feel something, actually, again, besides social pressures and things like that, we don't actually feel something physical that can, or on any other level that's preventing us from doing anything that we would like to do. We might have a conscience, and we might, again, have a family, but we don't actually feel, and it's something that we just experienced from our own life, that we could do whatever we want. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, there is a concept called Hashgacha Pratis, and the Ramban writes in his Hakdama to say for Iyov, that belief in Hashgacha Pratis, divine providence, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world and is bringing the world towards something and is orchestrating things and is not just a creator who sits back and watches what occurs, but is actively and intimately involved in what occurs in the world. That's something that the Torah tells us, and the Ramban writes in his Hakdama to Iyov, that if you don't believe in that, you don't get Olam Haba. Now, why am I saying that? To try to scare you with something? No, in order to show the centrality of it. Many of the Mefarshei Rambam included, it's not explicit, but many included within the Yud Gimel Karim of the Rambam, a belief that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashkiach B'Pratiyut on the world, not only Hashgacha Klolis, but on a very specific level. So, when we think about Hashgacha Pratis, and we think about natural disasters, or we think about animals, we think about non-free-willed forces in the world, so we don't have a problem. There's a bear in the forest, and I have faith that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to look after me. If the bear is supposed to get me, he's going to get me. If there's not supposed to be a bear on my hike, I'm not going to encounter a bear. The bear doesn't have free will, and I know that Hashem's running the world. The question that emerges is, what happens when I'm dealing with a free-willed creature? And the example that I'll bring is, you know, I'm sitting here across from Ezra, dear Talmud, and if I wanted to, I could really just lean over right now and punch him in the face if I wanted to. And I can punch Yehuda in the face, I can punch Gaby in the face, I can go down the whole row and punch everybody in the face. Now, we would say that Hashgacha Pratis tells us that the reason they're getting punched is because I decided to punch them, or because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had it in for them. They deserve the punch. And that's the question. And obviously the question is amplified as more and more people, right? Whenever you're dealing with Hashgacha Pratis, the more and more people you're discussing, the more challenging it is to except that it's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now they tell a joke that there was a gentleman who had a dream that he was going to die by water. You know, we'll make it more modern day now, by a plane crash. So his whole life he didn't want to get on a plane, he never wanted to go on a boat, plane, whatever the version is. his whole life he refused to get onto a plane. And then one day, whatever, there was an illness. He, for whatever reason, he needed to travel. So he went out and he found the biggest, you know, the Titanic boat, or he found the biggest Dreamliner jumbo jet that he could find with hundreds and hundreds of people on, and he got in it. And sure enough, it crashed. So when he got up to Shamayim, so he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen, I understand. I know I had the dream. I know we had this dream. I know I was supposed to die. But what about all the other people on the plane? Was that fair to them? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, do you know how long it took me to get you all on the same plane? So when it comes to certain things, now when it's more people, it becomes harder to accept that it's Hashgacha Pratis. Because what? All three of these guys happened to have it coming to them that they were going to get hit today? They didn't get hit yesterday, the day before. They happened to be here. They happened to all be deserving of getting hit. No, it's much more comfortable to say that I have free will, so I decided to punch them. This is not Hashgacha Pratis. This is free will. And this is the question that we want to deal with a little bit today, is what wins in a clash between Hashgacha Pratis and Bechira Chofshis, free will and divine providence? Which one wins the day? So the traditional approach, and we're going to spend most of the time tonight on the traditional approach. The traditional approach chooses Hashgacha Pratis. Take a look at the first source, Sefer Chovos Levavos, Rabbeinu Bachi Ibn Pekuda, one of the early Rishonim, one of the first Machshavos Svarim that we have. Just a quick line from Shara Bitachon, Ein biyad echad mehabruim lehoyo esnafsho velo lehazika ki imbershus habore. Nobody can damage you, nobody can hurt you, nobody can help you if it doesn't come with explicit permission from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nothing escapes the clutches of Hashgacha Pratis. Just I documented, I was going to read through it, but I didn't want to take too much time, five different what we would call schools, meaning five different areas of Jewish thought that all say the same thing. So we brought early rational Sephardic Machshava. So just another example, but it really goes across the board. Litvish, Hasidish, Ashkenazi, Sephardi, early Rishonim, Achronim. I brought you here from the Sefer HaTanya because he says it in a nice context. He tells us that Chazal tell us, Kol HaKoes, Kilo Oved Avodah Zarah. Anyone who gets angry, it's as if he was Oved Avodah Zarah. What does that mean? It wasn't Oved Avodah Zarah. I just got angry at someone. Hatam Muvan Layod De'i Bina. A person, those who know Bina, and maybe Dafka Bina is to understand Davar Mitoch Davar, can understand what's going on here. Lefi Shebe'es Kaso Nistalku Mimenu HaEmunah. The truth is, says the Baal Tanya, when you're angry, you lose your Emunah. What's the connection? If he believed that everything that's happening to him is coming from Hashem, he wouldn't get angry. And even if we're talking about a Baal Bechira, and he's Mekalalo, curses him, Makehu, Mazik, Mamono, he physically damages him, financially damages him, and he's going to be chayiv in court in Dinei Shemayim. The person, the perpetrator, is going to be responsible. L'roa b'chiroso. Afal pichein al haniza kvar nigzar min ha-shemayim. Even though he harmed you, he caused you to lose money, he physically hurt you, it was min ha-shemayim nigzar. V'harbe shluchim l'makom. And Hashem has many different emissaries to get you the patch that you're deserving from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we're starting to develop here the traditional approach that nothing is able to trump Hashgacha Pratis. And everything is divinely decreed, and you can't escape that, even when you're dealing with a Baal Bechira. Now, what arises from this is an interesting question that was just alluded to by the Baal HaTanya, which is, what question needs to be explained? If everything is really Hashgacha Pratis, so why is the Mazik, why is the perpetrator culpable? If anyway, Yehuda was supposed to get hit today, so why am I being punished for hitting him? He was supposed to be hit. And this is what we'll refer to as the culpability paradox, and it's addressed directly by Rav Sadia Gaon in his Emunos Videos. Take a look at what he says. Source number 3. Sho'alim Od, if you ask me, Kishetia Misiras Adam Lehareg, when a person gets killed, Echad Mimaisa Habore, Imla Onesh Alchet, O Nisayon, whether it's a punishment, or it's to test him. Kasher yargeyu ovel, when an evil person kills him, like Izevel killed so many great Talmidei Chachamim. Ma nomer b'zeh ha'maisa? How would you define this? L'mi ne'yacheis alav? who should get the fault? Who do we point the accusatory finger at for this? God or the perpetrator? Nomar will say as follows. Ki hamaves maiselukim. The death, the fact that the guy died, that was God. But hahereg, but the murder was maisa ha'avil. And if it was really decided by God that he should die, if this evil person wasn't there, he would have died in another way. So Rav Sajigon is mechalek here between the murder, the act of murder, and the death of the victim. Pulling the trigger, that was the decision of the murderer. That the bullet hit the target and killed the person, that was a Kadosh Baruch Hu taking over at that point. And this is what Rav Sajigon suggests. That the real reason a person is punished for his actions is not because of the result of the actions. The result is a Kadosh Baruch Hu's domain. But the reason a person is punished is because of the decision to act. The decision to pull the trigger. The decision to hurt somebody else. That is why a person is chayiv. And that's what the Rabbeinu Avraham ben HaRambam writes here in his Perush in Shmos. He says, we have a klal, a chok, which is amita samuna. Call me shiyamos be'eza siba shatiyah. Anybody who dies, for whatever reason, Harezeb Igzeroso Yisala. Rav Avram ben Arambam says, son of the Rambam, anyone who dies, it's always because of a Gezerah. V'hanereg al yedei horeg mezid, hakel yisbarach gozer alav shiyamos. Hashem was gozer that he should die by murder. Just by Emunos Fideos, he just said that he should die. Here, Rav Avram ben Arambam says that he should die by murder. U'mikal makam makadosh baruch lo hechriach es ahoreg. But still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't force the murderer. And for this, or Onesh. And for this reason, the murderer is going to be Chayiv and Onesh for what he did. Because the kavana was worse. What do you mean? If you try to pickpocket someone, or if you try to kill someone, so you had a more egregious thought process and scheming, you were attempting to commit a worser crime. So your punishment is on your planning and your attempt to actually actualize and execute a worse crime, right? Now, it's true, though, that sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't make the decision. It's much easier for Hashem, I mean, whatever that means, to let a small crime go than a bigger crime. A bigger crime is going to require bigger zechuyos to prevent it from occurring. Okay, what's the source for all of this? It's very nice that all these Rishonim are saying this. So a lot of this is really based on a Gemara in Tanis, and we'll read through it quickly. The Gemara in Tanis tells us, Kishabikesh Torianus Laharoges Lulianus Upupus Achov Bilutkia. Okay, I know it wasn't sure what language that was just now. When Torianus wanted to kill these two gentlemen in a city called Lutkia, Omar Lahem, he said to them, Imme Amo Shachanani Mishalva Zayatem. If you're from the same nation of Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, who were thrown into a fiery furnace and saved, if that's what nation you're from, so Yavo Elokeichem, Elohechem, V'yatzileschem Yadi, Kederach Shetzilz Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Miyad, Nebuchadnezzar. So let your God come and save you, just like he saved Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. So they said back to him with real chutzpah, first of all, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah were tzaddikim gemurim, and were not. So they were roi for a nace. And in addition to that, Nebuchadnezzar was a very chashuv person. And it was roi that a nace should happen, something that he was involved with. But you, you're a Russia hedgeot. You're just a fool, an idiot. V'enu roi lasos nace al yado, hedgeot. The word hedgeot probably comes from the same etymology as idiot. V'enu roi lasos nace al yado, and therefore there's no justification for a nace happening through you. Anu nischayav nukli lamakom. Listen, we might be deserving of death. V'im einatza horgenu, and if you're not going to kill us, harbe horgim yesh lo lamakom. This is the key line. Hashem has many, you know, hitmen at his disposal if he wants to get us. Harbe dubim v'arayos. There are lots of lions and tigers and bears. Yesh lo lamakom yolamo. He's able to get us if he wants. They can be pogeyabo, the harganosana. They can kill us. So this is seemingly the source that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has many emissaries to do his job. If he wants to kill someone, he can do it. And the person who decided to perpetrate the crime is going to be responsible for assuming that role. We have a case in Chumash, which is an excellent case study in which to discuss this entire principle. And this is by Bris Ben HaBesarim and Shibud Mitzrayim. We know that in Bris Ben HaBesarim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram Avinu, and the Psukim are here on the source sheet for you, Vayomer Avram, Yadoa Teida Ki Ger Yez Arecha Beretz Lo Lohem. Your children will be strangers in a strange land. The Avdum, the Inuosam, they will be in servitude, they will suffer. Arba Me'o Shana, and I didn't really translate that properly. And they, that nation, will enslave them. That nation will cause them to suffer. The Gamas Hagoya Sher Yavdu, and that nation which they serve, Don Anochi, I will bring them to justice one day. And Achrechen Yatzu Ruchush Gadol, it'll be a happy ending. You'll all go out with lots of Ruchush. So the question that the Mefarshim deal with is, what's the question? Why? It doesn't say Mitzrayim, right? It says this nation. Why doesn't it say Mitzrayim? But now that it doesn't say that, that's going to lead us into the question, what's the philosophic issue here with Shibud Mitzrayim? It says in the Pasuk, what am I going to do? I'm going to punish them, Hashem says. Why are you punishing them? For harming the Jews. Why are they at fault for harming the Jews? The Jews were being told here many years before that there's a gezeirah against the Jews. The Jews are going to be enslaved and are going to suffer. So the Egyptians are the ones who do it. Why are they getting punished? So seemingly this should reflect the paradox that we're describing. If there's a gezeirah, what is the achrayut of the one who actually goes and perpetrates the crime? So Rav Sajagon, as you would imagine, steps in and says, this is beautiful. You know why the Egyptians are going to be punished? Why are the Egyptians going to be punished? Because they chose to do it. They didn't need to do it. Hashem has many lions and tigers and bears. He doesn't need the Egyptians. The Egyptians decided to do it. And, as Adam points out, it doesn't say anywhere in the Psukim, the Egyptians. If the Gezerah was that the Egyptians will come and cause the Jews to suffer, so then the Egyptians don't have a choice. They're being forced. Hashem made a Gezerah. The Egyptians will do it. If Hashem says that Gaby's going to hurt Adam, so then that's it. Gaby can't be responsible for that. It's only that Hashem is gozer that someone's going to get hurt. The one who perpetrates it is responsible because he doesn't need to do it. Harbe shluchim lamakom. So why are the Egyptians culpable, says Rav Sajagon, as we would expect? Because they chose to do it. However, the Rambam does not like this view of Rav Sajagon. And the Rambam, even though it's not in the Psukim, the Rambam assumes that it was the Egyptians. Come on. Come on. Who's it going to be? It's obviously going to be the Egyptians, the Rambam says. So take a look at the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. That they are going to enslave them and cause them to suffer. Harei, says the Rambam, gozer ala mitzrim lasos ra. Hashem was gozer on the mitzrim that they have to commit a crime. Now, we're just pointing out, it doesn't actually say that in the Torah, that the mitzrim. But the Rambam is assuming that it was directed at the mitzrim. Maybe there was some other between the lines that it wasn't recorded in the Torah that Hashem said to Avram. Uksiv, and another example. Torah tells us, "Kama amazet," talking about Klal Yisrael, there'll be a time when the nation will arise. V'zona achrei Elohei nechar, nechar aretz. They're going to go and they're going to do idolatry. They're going to come into Eretz Yisrael. They're going to serve idols. Harei, gozer al Yisrael, avod avodah zara, lama nifra mehem. Same question. Why are the Jews in Israel going to be punished for doing avodah zara? If Hashem had a prophecy, he said the Jews are going to go into Israel. They're going to serve idols. So why are we being punished? So says the Rambam, famous answer. Lefi shelo gozer al ish ploni hayadua shiehu azone. Because Hashem wasn't gozer on a specific individual. Ela kol echad ve echad me osan hazonim lavod kum ilu lo rotza lavod lo haya oved. Every person has the prerogative to join the national movement or not. Right? Every 17-year-old boy in Nazi Germany had a choice. He could join the Nazis, or he could not join the Nazis. Oh, what do you mean he had a choice? There was pressure. Okay, but he still had a choice. Says the Rambam, it's true. The Egyptian nation was singled out that they're going to cause suffering to the Jews. But every individual Egyptian had the choice to decide if he wants to be part of the crime or not part of the crime. And even though it would be hard to stand up and to not join, the Rambam says, you know why the Egyptians are chayiv? Because each individual Egyptian chose. Ki ha-mitzrim, second to last line, kol echad v'echad me'osan ha-mitzirim. Every single one of those oppressors. Ha-mar'iyim li-Yisrael. Ilu lo ratzo lo hara lahem ha-reshus biyado. He could have. Shelo gazer al ish yadua. Elohudiyu shesov zara osid lishtabed ba'aretz. Hashem just said there will be oppressors in Egypt. Who? Who's going to crack the whip? That was up to the individuals to decide. So the Rambam is saying with Sajagon's same theory, the same principles being used. He's just adapting it to what he thinks the Gezerah was. So this is the view of the Rambam. However, the Rambam's great adversary in Halacha, the Ravid, attacks the Rambam for this perspective, as does the Ramban, who lived after the Ravid and the Rambam. The Ravid was actually a little bit older than the Rambam. People don't usually know that. The Ravid was a contemporary of the Rambam, a little bit older than the Rambam, and the Ramban lived after both of them. So the Ravid starts the attack, and the Ramban finishes off the attack. The Ramban, the way that he says it, is he asks a very simple question. Let's just paint our case now. There are these Jews, and these Jews need to be oppressed in Egypt. Need to be oppressed. We won't even pick the region. Somebody needs to oppress the Jews. That's what God wants. That's God's Gezerah. Asks the Ramban, shouldn't the one who stands up and does it get a reward, not a punishment? Lemaise, if Hashem is gozer that a nation should enslave the Jews, if the Jews are being bad and they need to be punished, they need to be enslaved, they need to be oppression. So wouldn't you think that the one who goes up and does the Gezerah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, fulfills the Gezerah, he shouldn't be punished. In fact, the Ramban says, the one who is apathetic, the one who doesn't stand up and do it is the one who should be punished. Not the one who goes and fulfills the request of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And furthermore, he quotes a pasuk that goes against the Rambam. The pasuk says, Shiyavdu HaKosasev V'gam Es HaGoy Asher Yavdu. And the Ramban's medayik in the last line of the Ramban in the sheet, that he thinks the pasuk is mashma hagoy kulo. We're not saying that individual Egyptians are going to oppress the Jews. Hashem says the entire nation will oppress the Jews. And therefore the Ramban does not like the Rambam's approach. And the Ramban, but preceded by the Ravid, give a different answer. Listen to the Ravid's answer, the Ramban's answer, and tell me if this sits well with you. Says the Ramban and the Ravid, you know why the Egyptians were punished? Not because they chose to do anything. They had to do it. There was a Gezerah. And more than that, they're going to get a reward for choosing to carry out Hashem's justice in the world. You know why they got punished? Because they did more than was decreed against the Jews. Hosifu lahara. They went beyond the letter of the decree. Hashem wanted to cause the Jews to suffer 50 units of suffering. Came along the Egyptians, and not only did they cause 50 units of suffering, they caused 65 units of suffering. They're not getting punished, says the Ramban on the first 50 units. That was a mitzvah. They were doing Hashem's job in the world. They're emissaries of the Lord. You know why they're being punished? They're being punished for that extra 15 units that they decided to do on their own and to cause the Jews to suffer. This is the view of the Ramban. So what we've seen is three different perspectives on why the Egyptians are chayif when there seemingly was a gezeirah against the Jews. Now before we move on, does anyone have a problem with the Ramban and the Ravid's suggestion?
Similar to the story of Yonah and Nineveh, right? But how does a nation that's, let's say, not inspired, doesn't have, so to speak, Dolam transmitting the
message to them? Okay, good. I thought you were going to say something else, which was going to say, how do they know that there's this job out there to do? Who told them? Right, that's Yonah. What about by the Mitzrayim? You're right, 100%. What about by the Mitzrayim? So that's a first question. In addition, but it's the same question, really. You know, this is all assuming that they had some type of prophet on the side there giving them cues of what they should do, how much they should do. That's good. That's a good question. The Ramban addresses that himself. Right? The Ramban addresses that himself. Good. Another question, based on some of the principles we've been talking about. Again, what was the view of the Ramban and the Ravid? You can't punish them for the decree. The decree was, that was just fulfilling the word of God. But they did more than the decree. They caused the Jews to suffer an extra 15 units. That they're going to be punished for. What's the question? That was just like a scratch. Okay, yeah, what's the question?
What about the degree itself? Maisa, even though we say Harishtuvim Lakam, they still went and acted.
Oh, so I think this is what you're asking. Wait a second. How can they do 15 more units? I thought we said that when there's a Bali Bechira who want to do something, you need the Hashkacha Pratis to be saying that the guy deserves it, right? Remember all those sources in the beginning? You can't kill someone if there's no decree. So what happened here? There was a decree for 50. Kasha. Answer? In a Harami. But they did 15 more than the decree. And that's why they're being punished. What do you mean? How do you do more than the decree? I thought you can't do something to someone unless there's a decree. Does the Ramban accept Rav Sadia Gaon's principle or does he not? If he doesn't, he doesn't need to answer the problem. There's no problem. Just say that, say what, you know. So what's going on here? Why does the Ramban think that they're able to harm them 15 more? So what are we going to have to answer? It's a little dachak, but what are we going to have to say? It's like lots of thumb twisting here. What are we going to have to say? We're going to have to say there was a decree that they were going to suffer 65 units, but only 50 by the Egyptians. That was decreed. 50 by the Egyptians. But it can't be that there was no decree on the extra 15, or else the Egyptians would be powerless. They wouldn't be able to be Mosif on the suffering if there was no decree. So we need to say there was a general decree for 65 units. 50 was directly for the Egyptians. The other 15 was open to see who's going to do it. And whoever chooses to do it, what's going to happen to them? They're going to be punished because they chose to do something beyond the decree. So all three answers, Rambam, Rav Sadia Gaon, Rambam, and the Ramban Ravid, are all saying the same thing, just with their own versions of the same thing. But it's all the same yesod. You cannot harm someone if there isn't a gezeira against the person. Okay. This perspective, I think, enlightens us regarding a number of things. First of all, as was talked about and alluded to here, attempted murder in this from this perspective should be just as chamor as murder. It shouldn't really make a difference whether you actually kill the guy or not. It's just as bad to attempt to murder someone than to murder them, because whether the bullet hits the target is not you. That's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's one thing that comes out. There's another thing that comes out, and it's regarding tshuva. What do you need to do tshuva for? And this is the, you know, could be a little controversial to say this, but what are you really doing tshuva for? You're not really doing tshuva for the act that occurred. What are you doing tshuva for? For your decision to start the process of that act. And the only reason I'm pointing it out is because there's a famous line in Rabbeinu Yonah that Rav Tzadok and many others spend a lot of time trying to explain. Akiras haratzon is ka'akiras ha'maisa. That's the line of Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva. He says that when a person's doing tshuva, you need to have harata for what you did. And as soon as there's akiras haratzon, as soon as you're able to expel from within you that desire to have done the sin, so then it's as if there was akiras ha'maisa. So what does that mean? So I heard from Moshe Shapiro that this is exactly the pshat that we're talking about right here. That your culpability is not on the maisa, it's on the ratzon. It was on the attempt to do the crime. Whether the crime occurred was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you don't need tshuva on the maisa, you need tshuva on the ratzon. And as soon as there's akiras ha'ratzon, as soon as I divorce myself, right? Let's say the way Rav Avraham ben Arambam said, victim over here is supposed to die anyway. It could be my bullet, it could be a heart attack, it could be a million things. It could be a lion, a bear. So the only reason I have any connection to this, because he was going to die anyway, is because I decided to pull the trigger. So as soon as I do tshuva for the akiras haratzon, as soon as I remove this part of the picture, so him dying is no longer connected to me. That was happening anyway. And that's the pshat in Rabbeinu Yonah, perhaps, of akiras haratzon is akiras ha'maisa. If we would end here, so we would have discussed the traditional approach, and we would be very, we would be done. Everything would be very nice. However, there is a minority opinion that is a very chush of minority opinion that I'd like to just share with you for a couple of minutes. Well, this is generally attributed to the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, even though it actually was said 100 or 200 years earlier by the Al-Sheikh HaKadosh. There are only a few people who get that name, HaKadosh. One of them is the Or HaChaim and one is the Al-Sheikh. Shla, there are a few who get the name HaKadosh. The truth is that's what people always say. The truth is there are a lot of people who are called HaKadosh because all of the Bali Tosfos who were killed on Kiddush Hashem are referred to as Rav Yaakov HaKadosh, Rav Yom Tov HaKadosh. But we generally speak about three or four HaKadoshes. One of them was the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. And the Or HaChaim, what he says, as I said, was already said by the Al-Sheikh. And the truth is, now the Al-Sheikh says it in like five words. And the Or HaChaim says it in like a paragraph. After you read the Or HaChaim, you realize that's what the Al-Sheikh meant. But the truth is that the Netziv, Rosh Hashiva of Elazhin 120 or so years ago. So the Netziv actually points to a Zohar. In his commentary on the Chumash, he points to a Zohar that says this as well. The minority view, just to give you the background here, so we all know the story of the Achi Yosef, and they're very upset about his dreams, and they don't believe that the dreams are true, that Yosef's really going to be the manhig over all of them. They were the Shiftei Ka, they were very chashev people. They didn't believe that Yosef, with his hair and everything else, Chazal thought that he's going to be the leader. So what happens? They decide that they need to deal with him. So what do? They're planning on killing him. And comes along the Torah, they were dan him lemisa, Chazal tell us, they had a beis din, and they decided that he was chayav misa, they were going to kill him. Comes along Reuven and saves the day. And the pasuk says, v'yatzileu miyadom. He saved them. What was his big suggestion? Why should we kill them? Get blood on our hands? Why should we kill him? Let's throw him in a pit, and we'll figure out what to do with him. We'll sell him, we'll do something else with him. Let's throw him in the pit. He actually doesn't suggest to sell him. He says, let's throw him in the pit. What's the big cheshbon here? You know, we know Chazal tell us that the pit was not just a pit. It had snakes, and there was no water in it, but there were snakes and scorpions. So what was the big hatzola of Reuven? Let's not shoot him. Let's instead throw him into a pit with snakes and scorpions. What's the v'yatzileu miyadom? I don't know which one I would choose if I had the choice between a bullet and snakes and scorpions to kill me in a pit. So comes along the Or HaChaim and says, you know why he saved him? It's a very simple cheshbon. Let's read it inside. You tell me what he's saying. V'yatzileu miyadom, perush, lefisha, we're in the middle of the second side. Lefisha adam bal b'chira v'ratzon, because man has free will, v'yachol leharog, wink wink, afilu mishlon eschayev misa, and he can kill someone even if that person is not chayev misa, even if there's no gezeira, you're a bal b'chira, you can kill him. Mash enken chayos ros, a snake and a scorpion has no free will. It can't kill somebody if there's no decree against him. And that's what it says. Yatzleo miyadam. Perush, miyad habichiri miyadam. Daika. Bedafka, their hands. He was saving them. They were saving him. He was saving him. Reuven was saving Yosef from the hands of a baal bechira. Miyadam. From the hands of the baal bechira. Ubezeh. If you kill him, you don't prove anything. We want to know, is he really destined to be the leader or is he not destined to be the leader? We want to test, is he destined for greatness? If you kill him, that doesn't prove anything. Why? Because you could kill him, you have free will. That's not going to prove anything. You want to prove if he really is the savior and the king. And so throw him into a pit with snakes and scorpions. There, he's in God's hands. The snakes and scorpions don't have free will. So what's the better test? To shoot him with a bullet? No, that doesn't help and prove anything. What proves something is if we throw him in the pit with the snakes and scorpions. And that's why Reuven is Yatzileo Miyadam. He was saving Yosef from the hands of Balei Bechira, who can kill without a gezerah, and throwing him in a pit with snakes and scorpions, who can only kill with a gezerah. So this Or HaChaim, seemingly, is against all of the Rishonim that we've been talking and Achron that we've seen so far. Up until now, we've been maintaining the traditional view that it is impossible to kill someone or to harm someone if there's no Gezerah. Comes along the Or HaChaim HaKadosh and says, no, if you're a Baal Bechira, you're able to do it. The truth is, we say this all the time in Tachnun. The opening psukim of Tachnun, it's from Shmuel Beis. Vayomer Hashem El Gad. Sarli ma'od, I'm in bad case. I'm in a bad situation, David says to the prophet. Nafla nabi ad Hashem, please, put me in God's hands. Ki rabim rachamov, uviyad odom ala pola. And don't let me fall into the hands of man. What's going on here? David HaMelech had counted Klal Yisrael. He did a sin. He wants tshuva. He goes to the prophet. Asks the prophet, how do I get tshuva? So the prophet says, you have three choices. It's like a game show. You have three choices, okay? Behind door one, you can have pestilence. Behind door two, famine. Behind door three, sword, war. So which one's he going to choose? So the Malbim explains that what did he choose? He prayed and he said, well, I don't want to fall into the hands of man. I don't want to go to war. I can get killed in war even if there's no gezeira against me. I want to be in whose hands? I want to be in God's hands. So the Malbim does a cheshbon. Which one's more God's hands? Famine or pestilence? Whatever pestilence means, right? Pestilence or famine. Whichever one is more in God's hands, that's the one that he that he chooses, because he doesn't want to be falling into the hands of man. He wants to fall into the hands of God. Why? Says the Mabim, because in the hands of man, you could be killed even without a gezeira. So we're starting to develop here a secondary view that man can be killed, can be harmed, even in the absence of a gezeira. Right. That was the traditional view, right.
As opposed to, and it's kind of fitted in the context of Dugan, this idea of Shura, you mentioned that even the Gezerah put it on that, like sort of a prior view, like the idea that you have, it's bilateral, we're constantly changing, we have an opportunity to change the destiny of the world. So,
100%.
How does that kind of filter in?
Yes, there's definitely an idea of tshuva, and the Ramban writes in towards the end of Sefer Bereishis that when a person does tshuva, what happens to the gezeira? So the gezeira misses the mark because the gezeira was on Aryeh Leibowitz, and now I davened and I did tshuva, so now I'm Aryeh Leibowitz plus. So I'm no longer the same, you know, I'm a step higher, so the bullet goes underneath me, you know, ki'ilu, because I'm a different person now. So that's certainly true that when there's a gezeira, a person has the ability to save himself from the result of the gezeira. But the question now what we're dealing with is, let's say it goes through the intended, what the gezeira was. It goes through, it's able to harm me. So where do we put the blame on that? So part of the blame might be that I didn't do tshuva on my own. But there's still going to be culpability for the criminal, for the perpetrator.
I guess just that these events sort of are supposed to be part of this process. It's like, you know,
yeah, there is a, yes. And it's true. Whenever we're trying, and I guess I stated in the beginning, but I think it's a good time to re-stress it, that you know, when we're trying to figure out, like, why did God do something? So there are millions of variables going on at the same time. It's very hard, I think, part of what you're saying, to say, like, oh, well, it's just, you know, he did this, and therefore this happened. There could be things that happened in the past. There could be schuyos of previous generations. There could be considerations of future generations. So there's definitely a lot more going on. And that's part of the reason why it's very hard to get anywhere with sugyas like this, because there are always other factors that can affect things. Getting like a tag team over here. Okay, yeah.
In a dangerous situation, like the brothers, Reuben said put him in a pit. He put him in a dangerous situation.
So excellent. Good. We're going to get there right now. Very good. So I'll actually use that, and I'm going to use that to get to the last, to the closing points that I'd like to make at the end of this year. Rav Steinman, they put out a sefer recently of some of the Torah of Rav Steinman, so he actually suggests that this view of the Or HaChaim is the pshat in the Ramban. Remember that Ramban? Those extra 15 units, that's what they're being punished for. So we tried to give this whole explanation that there was really a gezeira on 65. So Rav Steinman says it's much, much easier than that. The Ramban assumes, like the Or HaChaim, you are able to damage someone even without a gezeira. And that's why they were punished for that extra 15. It's true, for the first 50 units of punishment, of suffering, the Egyptians were slated to do that. But they added, they did 15, and he just makes reference to this Or HaChaim. On that pasuk, he just says, I am the Or HaChaim by Acha Yosef. So what's the explanation here? Is this really a big machlokas? The way, if we wanted to end the shiur right now, we would basically end and say, so we've seen this question of a clash, and we have two perspectives. It's a machlokas, like every good shiur, there's a machlokas. This view says that Hashkacha Pratis wins, and this view says that Bechira wins. However, what I think is being suggested here is that it could be that we have to have a little bit more of a nuance in what is meant here by the Or HaChaim. And the explanation, I think the proper context to put it in is another story that takes place at the end of Sefer Bereishis. You'll remember that when Yosef was the viceroy in Mitzrayim, he requested that Binyamin be sent to Mitzrayim. And Yaakov Avinu says, I don't want to send him. Anyone remember why? What does he say? Pen Yikrenu Ason. Maybe a tragedy will happen. So Rashi, who is addressing, look what Rashi says. Pen yikrenu ason. Ubabayis. Lo yikrenu ason. What? And the tragedy is not going to happen in the house? What's Rashi asking? If something's going to happen to Binyamin, what does it make a difference if he's on the road or if he's in his house? He could fall off a ladder. Anything can happen to him. Amar Rabbi Yezer ben Yaakov. Mikan shasotan mikatreg b'shasa sakona. Dangerous situations. When you're in a dangerous situation, you're in greater trouble. End of Rashi. What does Rashi mean by this? So, the pshat seemingly is as follows. And I think this is what Yoni was saying a minute or two ago. What perhaps the Or HaChaim is saying is not that somebody could just kill someone in the absence of a gezeira. We saw very clearly in very reputable sources that you can't do something without a gezeira of Hashem. And I think this is also what your father was probably alluding to a little bit as well. But what the Or HaChaim is being mechadesh is that you as a Baal Bechira can put someone in a situation that's going to require a new cheshbon of if this person is deserving of being saved. Meaning, when I'm sitting in my house and nothing's going on, so Hashem has his cheshbonos about whether I should live or die today. He looks at, he's 36 years old, he's hopefully not doing too many sins, he's important to this person. He has all his cheshbonos and he decides to allow a person. Every day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us life, he makes a decision. But once we're in a dangerous situation, right? People always say like planes are like the safest way of travel. It's true until there's a problem. Once there's a problem, being in a problematic plane is a lot more dangerous than being in a problematic car, right? Or a problematic bicycle. So it depends on what the situation is. Stop flying at 30,000 feet and everything's fine, so that's not a dangerous situation. Everything's fine. It's safer than being on the ground. But once you're in a storm on the ocean and the boat is being thrown back and forth, now it's a whole other cheshbon. Because now in order to save you, if the plane is plummeting towards the earth, for Hashem to save you requires a lot more zechuyos, a lot more breaking of teva than if you're just sitting in your living room, relaxing on the couch. And what the Or HaChaim is saying, suggests Yoni, I think, and certainly this is how the Achronim learn it, what the Or HaChaim is saying is that you can't harm someone if there's no gezeira, but you can cause a reanalysis of the person's zechuyos. You can put a person into a compromising situation that's going to require HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reconsider, is this person still deserving of being saved? And this perhaps will be mekarev a lot, the two views that we've seen. The machlokus now between them is not, can you harm someone if there's no gezeira? Everyone agrees, nothing can happen without a gezeira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what it means is a person able to put someone in a situation that's going to require Kadosh Baruch Hu to reanalyze what happens? I'll take a question in a second. I just want to conclude with and there's obviously a lot more to say about this, but these are some of the basics of this machlokas. I want to conclude with, I think, a very important take-home message from this entire discussion. And this is what the Sefer HaChinuch tells us. And this is on the mitzvah of nekama, a very, very important thing to keep in mind. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, we're on the top of the back of the page, page 5. Mishar Sheha Mitzvah. What's the shoresh of the mitzvah of Nekama? Sheyeda Adam v'yitin alibo ki kola sheikre'ehu mitov yadra, that everything that happens to you is a siba, there's a siba shetavo olav me'es Hashem. You should realize that everything that happens to you comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Miyada Adam, miyada Yishachiv, whether it's from another person or not, lo yedavar bilti ratzon Hashem Baruch Hu. Everything comes because HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts his stamp of approval on it. Even if you're the Or HaChaim, and you believe that someone could put you in a compromising situation, still, nothing happens at the end of the day without a Kadosh Baruch Hu giving his seal. Al Kain, Kishi Yitzaruhu, O Yachivu, Adam, if a person hurts you, if a person wrongs you, Yeda Benafsho, a person should internalize, Ki Avonosev Garmu, it's my sins that have ultimately caused this to happen. For Hashem Yizbarach Gazer Olav Bekach, Velo Yashis, Machshevosav limkol mimenu, when you shouldn't start scheming to take revenge against the person. Ki avon hu amesovev, it's the sins, your own sins, that are the ultimate cause. And he quotes here a very beautiful and powerful story with David HaMelech. We know that David HaMelech, when he was really the rightful king at this point, he had already been anointed. He's walking by the town of Bachurim, which is the hometown of Shimi ben Gera. Now Shimi ben Gera is identified as one of the Chavrei Sanhedrin. But Shimi ben Gera, who has his allegiance towards Shaul, because he doesn't know that David HaMelech has been anointed the king, he comes out of the town cursing and throwing things at David HaMelech. And David HaMelech's general turns to David and says, should I kill him? And David says, don't kill him, because he's not cursing me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is cursing me. And David HaMelech realized that even though he's wrong, and he's going to be punished, and he was, and David made sure he got punished after David died, even though he is at fault for what he did, that's not the ultimate reason it happened to me. When somebody wrongs me, when someone does something wrong, he's a bad guy, Lesman de Pollock, and he's going to get it for it. But I shouldn't be the one to exact that punishment on him, because what happened to me is not because of him. What ultimately, the reason it happened to me is because of me. He's a bad guy for doing it, that's his cheshbon with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if it wouldn't have been him, it would have been someone else. And who greater than Yosef, that when the brothers are in Mitzrayim, and Yaakov dies, and the brothers are concerned that now Yosef is going to take revenge. What does he say to them? Lo atam shalachtem osiheina. It wasn't you who sent me here. What do you mean? Of course it was them. They threw him in the pit and had him sold. It wasn't you who sent me here. Kiyem Elokim. But rather it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What a powerful statement. It's something that's very hard to internalize, especially in the heat of the moment when something happens. But to be able to remember that he's guilty for doing it, and he's going to get punished for doing it, but ultimately it's because of my own predicament, whether it's my sins, whether it's an isayon, whatever the reason is for me suffering, this is a private cheshbon between me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem should help all of us that the more we internalize our emunah and the things that we know to be true, so when we're in the heat of the moment, like the Balatanya said, call a koes kilo ovid avodah zarah, our emunah will stay strong even in that moment, and we'll recognize to point the accusatory finger at ourselves, and that introspection and tshuva is the proper response as opposed to revenge.